So today's Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Jesus heals many. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Alistair, if you don't know who I am, and I have the pleasure of speaking about these few verses this morning and seeing what we can get out of them. So, we're doing a series at the moment called Jesus Versus the World, and we'll be looking at these verses in terms of that. But before we do, just stay sitting there for a minute. There we go. All right. Before we do, when was the last time you bought a vacuum cleaner? For us, it was quite a while ago, and I've got to admit that I would be the sort of person these days who would go to Big W and just buy one off the shelf and go with that. But years ago, when we went to get our vacuum cleaner, I was a commercial cleaner at that stage, and I knew the best place to go. So I went to Godfrey's, and Paula and I went in there, and it's quite a nice shop back then. I assume it still is. And the sales assistant came and told us all about these different vacuum cleaners. And I thought, oh, this sounds really good. But then the most special thing happened, is he got a container of dirt and dust, and he put it all over this white carpet, and then he turned on the vacuum cleaner and he sucked it all up. It was as good as new, and so sold, we bought that one. Now, we've been looking through this book of Matthew as a church, and as we've seen, Jesus is preaching and teaching about the kingdom of heaven. It's also called the kingdom of God, same thing, different names. The basic message was that the kingdom of God is coming to rid the world of sin and evil. That sin and evil that we actually all know exists. In the book of Genesis, God tells us the world existed like this since the fall, when the devil tempted the first humans into disobeying him and bringing corruption and death into the world. Jesus, he came as king so he could change all of that. Jesus versus the world. But Jesus didn't just talk about the kingdom. Like that vacuum cleaner, he turned it on and demonstrated how it would work. In this short passage, we're going to look at how Jesus did that. How did he demonstrate the kingdom of God? He did it in three ways. He did it personally, he did it publicly, and he did it prophetically. And we'll see how we can do that as well. So, first off, Jesus demonstrates the kingdom personally. Let's read verses 14 and 15. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. Now, Peter's mother-in-law was suffering because our world is wrong. Before that first sin in Genesis, there was no sickness. Sickness came as part of the death that God promised for disobedience. And now she was caught up in this corrupt world, and she was bedridden with a fever. Am I saying she brought it on herself? Well, no. No, not necessarily. It's the same way that you can trip over a broom and hurt yourself because somebody else left it lying on the ground. There is sin in the world, and it affects us all. So we don't know why she was sick, but it doesn't really matter. The Bible doesn't tell us. All we know is that Jesus saw her and touched her hand and healed her. So we know that there will be no sickness in the kingdom of God. So when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, he was showing something of what the kingdom of God is like. But who was he showing? I mean, there were no audience. He hadn't invited all these people into the house to show them what he was doing. He was showing her. She was the one who saw it. She was the one who felt it. She was the one who experienced it. Jesus had compassion on her and touched her, and so demonstrated the kingdom of God to her personally. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but Jesus rarely healed without getting personally involved. People came to him, he looked at them, he talked to them, he touched them, There were times when people were coming to him in droves, as we'll see soon. But there's no indication that he healed people without healing them personally. We never read of him saying, all right, everybody with a broken arm or a leg, you come and stand over here. People with a heart murmurs, you're here. People with headaches, you go over there. People with skin diseases, you stay outside. No, Jesus dealt with people and deals with people today one-on-one. He demonstrates his kingdom to you personally. The other night, we were with some friends and we watched the documentary drama, The Social Dilemma. It's on YouTube, it's on Netflix if you're interested in watching it. It's about social media and the different programs and what they do. They gather all of this information about you so that they're able to advertise to you more effectively. And it is so well organized that they can record how long you look at a picture and before you keep going, what you push, and they can predict that if they show you this particular thing, you might do this. It's pretty freaky, right? So when we watched it, there was a bit of a silence after it had finished because we were all digesting what was going on. It sounds horrible because what they're doing is they're trying to make money off you. But if you think about it, in real life, this is actually not a bad thing. Because when you're interacting with people personally, you find out what they like. So if I'm going to make a coffee for somebody over here, I might know that they have two sugars. But if I make a coffee for someone over here, I might know that they don't have any sugars. Or if I'm going to tell a kid off, not that I do that, of course, but if I was to tell off a child, if I speak really gruffly to this child over there, they might burst into tears. But if I don't speak gruffly to this child over here, they may not pay attention. So you need to know what different types of people there are and how to talk to them. That's why it's great that Tim Canavan works as a chaplain at a couple of state schools. Now, I don't think he actually heals people like Jesus. I haven't heard that. But he does get involved in people's lives. He gets to know people, their families and the students. And he demonstrates the kingdom of God by caring for them, by loving them like they would be loved in the kingdom of God. And that's why it's great that we have small groups. We heard about them this morning. It's great we have small groups in the church because maybe you might be having a hard time and people in your small group can help you out and can love and share that burden with you like a family that you would find in the kingdom of God. And that's why it's great that everybody in this church has an individual life and different people go across your path and you reach different people, you do things with different people, you bring the kingdom of God to different people personally. And I know a lot of us already do, well, a lot of you, perhaps you're better than me, I probably are, do that already. And I want to encourage you, that's the way it's meant to be. It's supposed to bring the kingdom of God to people personally. God has made us, the church, diverse and different so that we, like Jesus, can reach out and demonstrate the kingdom of God to others personally. That's not all Jesus did, though. He demonstrated the kingdom of God personally, but he also did it publicly. Let's read verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Why did all these people come to see Jesus? Well, because even though Jesus was personal in his approach, he didn't keep his preaching private. He didn't keep what he did private. From the very beginning, he talked about the kingdom and he demonstrated it publicly. And you can see this in Matthew 4, a few chapters before, where it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all those who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. So Jesus did all of this publicly. Let's have a little look at what he actually did, though. It says here, he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Now, this is important because it is a full reversal of the fall, the sin of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. Because every time Jesus drove out a demon. He's showing that in the kingdom of God, the devil is defeated. And every time he healed people, he's showing that in the kingdom of God, sickness and death will be taken away. And Matthew actually assumes these things will continue to be done. And later on in chapter 10, Jesus gives his disciples the same authority to heal and to cast out demons. And back in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 7, he talks about how Jesus is going to rebuke people who did these things, but not because they did these things, because they weren't obeying him. So the whole Bible really tells us that these things are things that are to continue. Now, I know that this is, for some people, that will be a bit of a scary idea, an idea where people are saying, you know, I trusted somebody for healing and it never came. And that can be very painful. Or you may be someone who's just cynical. Oh, yeah. We can pray for someone and they can get healed. Yeah, whatever. Or you may actually have theological concerns. You may say, well, no, that's not something that we do today. But there's something here that tells us that God does heal and he can heal. And so I think what we need to do is to pray and expect to see something happen. Now, this can be scary. It can be scary. And I admit I do this far less than I used to. When I was 15 years old, I had an experience of Jesus that made me realize that God is real and that when we pray, things should happen. So I wasn't particularly wise and I didn't have a lot of guidance, but I would pray for people who were sick or injured and I would pray expecting them to be healed. And then if they didn't get healed, it's okay, well, God had a good reason for not healing them. I don't know what it was. So I prayed for my grandfather. He had Parkinson's. He was bedridden as well, but he didn't get healed. And I prayed for a lady in a wheelchair who came to our church, and she didn't get healed. But I prayed for someone with an injured foot, and she did get healed. And I prayed for people's headaches, and sometimes they got healed. So some of them got healed and some of them didn't, and it was pretty minor stuff when it happened. But in amongst all of that, God did work. And not just by a little bit of healing. People actually saw that I was serious about this Jesus that I talked about. I was willing to look silly, to pray for somebody, and believe that God would do something. And what happened was that they were much more interested in hearing what I had to say after that. So what application am I drawing? What did these verses mean for us? Well, this is what I would suggest. I would suggest these things should be learned about. In the Bible, we should read the Bible and find out what God says about them. And then I suggest we take chances. Even if you come down on the side saying that, you know, that sort of healing is really not for today, everybody believes in prayer. Why not? Why not take a chance? Why not pray? Why not ask Jesus to demonstrate that his kingdom is going to be one where there's no sickness, no death, no demons, and full freedom? And if we believe in a God who's real, who sent Jesus to bring the kingdom of God to earth, let's ask him, publicly demonstrate it. So these verses, they tell us that Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God personally. And they tell us that he demonstrated the kingdom of God publicly. Lastly, Jesus demonstrated the kingdom of God prophetically. Let's read the last verse we've got here. This was to fulfill, this is meaning the healings and driving out of demons, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Now, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, a prophet called Isaiah spoke about him and what he would do. And Matthew links Jesus' healing and exorcism to these prophecies. God had planned all of this. None of this was a surprise. Well, it shouldn't have been. It was actually a bit of a surprise. But it's more exciting than that. Because by fulfilling this part of Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus promised he would fulfill the rest of the prophecy. Let's look at a little bit more of it. In the verse afterwards, and unfortunately it's not up here, so I'll just have to read it to you. The verse afterwards, it makes it much more applicable to us than we even realize today. Here we go. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. When Jesus healed people and set them free from demons, Matthew says he took their infirmities and diseases on himself, but that was not all. Jesus came to take on our corruption and our evil, our transgressions and our iniquities. He took all those things to the cross, and he was punished to bring us the ultimate healing, and he was raised to give us life. And that's what every demonstration of the kingdom ultimately points to. The death and resurrection of the king is at the very center of the coming kingdom of God. Well, a few days ago, I was looking on Twitter. I'm on Twitter for some reason. And there was a discussion about a guy who was a Christian. And he no longer is. And he's making TikTok videos about how terrible Christianity is. And there was a discussion about this. Oh, in case you don't know, that's a tweet. There was a discussion about this on Twitter. And somebody said during the discussion, he's more of a Christian than he's ever been. What? He doesn't even believe Jesus is God anymore. He doesn't believe he died on the cross or was raised from the dead. How can he be a better Christian than he's ever been before? Oh, well, he demonstrates the kingdom of God better than he's ever done before. What? How does he demonstrate the kingdom of God better? Well, he's nicer than he was before. What? I don't know what he was like before. Maybe he is nicer. But I've seen this mistake happen a number of times. It happened in the church that I went to when I was a boy. You see, in that church, the people were so nice. They really, really were. I still like them. They accepted everybody. You know, you could be just the rottenest, foulest person, and they would accept you. They were, like, up on all of the social issues, but they tended to go with whatever society was saying. Their understanding of the kingdom of God was that everybody would be happy, well-off, accepting, all of these things. And you know what? It was really nice, but there was no Jesus involved. The Jesus that they believed in did not say no, did not say, you're doing something wrong. The Jesus they believed in was just loving and accepting. And there was no power there. Compare that to my wife. Oh, there she is. She became a Christian before I met her. She has said that I can share all of this too. And when she became a Christian, she came from a background of where smoking, drinking, and sex were the way that you coped with the world. And then when she found out about Jesus, she was blown away, especially by the fact that Jesus died on the cross to love her, to forgive her, and restore her. That didn't actually mean that she stopped using those coping strategies. But it did plant a seed, that belief in Jesus, that meant that she got better and better as she went, became more like a citizen of the kingdom, more like the king. Sometimes the healing was really slow. Now, sometimes it was quick, like we saw here. And sometimes she went backwards. But Jesus remained the center of everything. She said to me, where else could I go? Whenever we want to demonstrate the kingdom of God, we need to make sure we do not ignore, minimize, reject, or reject the crucified king. If we demonstrate a kingdom in which everything is perfect, in which there's no injustice, in which everybody is healed, all the demons have gone, all of that, whatever you think the perfect kingdom is, if we have a place like that and there is no Jesus, it's going to fail. But on the other hand, we can have a kingdom of God where you have terrible problems. You can have people who ignore injustice. You can have people where there's sexual sin. You can have horrible things going on. But if Jesus is at the center, then we know it's going to become perfect. And that perfect kingdom will last forever. So what do we need to do? Well, first of all, we need to make sure that no matter what anyone else does or says, we need to make sure that we've received forgiveness from Jesus, the King. You just have to realize that you need forgiveness. And then you ask God for forgiveness and believe that God gives you forgiveness because Jesus died on the cross. And then, as we live out the kingdom life that God gives us, we need to point to the cross. Like Matthew did in this passage. We need to explain to people that when we show them what a kingdom is like, whether you're giving them food, whether you are loving the unlovely, whether you are acting out how you think the kingdom should be or how the Bible tells us the kingdom should be, we need to make sure that people know Jesus has done that for us. It could be a quick comment. It could be a testimony. You could open a Bible. It could be any number of creative ways. But people should know that whatever you're doing for the kingdom of God, you're doing it because Jesus died and rose again for you. Because if you think back to that first illustration, the kingdom of God is the vacuum cleaner, and Jesus' death and resurrection is how it becomes yours. The world is a beautiful, glorious, corrupt, and evil mess. Jesus is bringing a kingdom that will get rid of the corruption and evil and will multiply the beauty and glory beyond what we can imagine. It's not a secret. But there are people who don't know this, and there are people who don't believe it. So Jesus has asked us as a church not just to tell people about the kingdom of God, but to demonstrate it. And if we're going to follow him, we need to do that. We need to do it personally. We need to do it publicly, so everybody knows. But we need to do it prophetically and make sure that Jesus is at the center of everything we do. Let's pray that we can do that. Father God, we are grateful for all the things you've done, things you've given us in Jesus, and the things of the kingdom of God that we see now. Lord, we are asking you that you would help us to demonstrate that kingdom to other people. And help us to remember to keep you always at the center and what Jesus has done always at the center. In your name, amen.